Good morning, everybody. Welcome. So I should allow time. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist. I'm Lynn Curry, a member of Prairie, and want to just make sure you all know that Prairie aspires to be an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age, your abilities, or inabilities. Today, we'll hear from Lucy Chicoero, hopefully, yeah, okay, who I'll introduce when we get to that point in the service. I will be sharing the opening words this morning. The great aim of education is not knowledge, but action, by Herbert Spencer. I'd like to welcome up Mary Mullins and Patty Stockdale for the chalice lighting this morning.
As one small flame fills a whole room with light, so may we radiate hope, courage, and good cheer. And in all the corners of our mighty world, Reverend Cecilia Midgley.
Well, I'm honored to introduce today our speaker, Lucy Chicoero. She comes from Zimbabwe and works with the Rosario Memorial Trust, which is a community-based non-governmental organization in rural Zimbabwe. She is currently working as the Girls Club coordinator in North America. Lucy connects the girls in rural Zimbabwe with those who are here, creating pen pals, mentors, and peer groups with the scope of widening the horizon of the underprivileged. As RMT girls, they seek to provide safe spaces for discussing issues of growing up in a non-judgmental environment that's nurturing, provides growth, and open lines of communication between young marginalized girls and global leadership. Last year, Lucy's daughter in the back, Maka, who is a member, can you raise your hand? Yep. Who is a member and a child ambassador of the Trust in North America, was invited to the United Nations as the youngest delegate to the Commission on the Status of Women. She was again invited by the UN Women's Executive Director to help address thousands of people participating at the International Women's Day March. Finally, she was among the girls invited to launch Every Woman, Every Child Healthcare Initiative by the Secretary General of the United Nations, Ban Ki-moon. Outside Lucy's volunteer work, she's a student pursuing family sociology, a mother, and a wife. Her work with young women and girls, including those affected and infected by HIV and AIDS, makes her an active global citizen that seeks to close the gap between men and women and actively campaign on ending early marriages affecting most African countries. I want to note before I invite Lucy up here that she has a bunch of cards that are available on the table outside. The one next to the coffee, so feel free to grab one of those. Thank you very much, Lucy. Welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Lynn, for the beautiful introduction, and thank you so much for allowing me to be here to speak with you about Rosario Memorial Trust. First of all, I would like to introduce to you or to tell you about the birth of the trust itself. It all started with a girl who was 15 years old, and her name was Rosaria. Rosaria was at school when her auntie came to her and told her that, Rosaria, you're going to be married. She was pulled out of school and taken to her husband-to-be. With her, she took a rapper. This rapper, she would tie it on herself while doing all the household chores as a new bride. She started having babies. She would take the rapper and carry the baby on her back and still go to the fields to try and get food. Like all child marriages, poverty is written on your face from day one. Rosaria worked so hard. She raised her children. Some of the days she did not have food. She would go. She would go, take her children, give them water, kneel down and pray, and tell the children that tomorrow the sun shall rise, and we shall rise with the sun, and we shall rise with dignity. She worked so hard in educating her own children. She was so determined that I am not going to let my children marry young. I am not going to let my community suffer the same way I suffered. Today, we are proud to say one of Rosaria's kids is the current YWCA Secretary General, and she's based in Geneva, working to help women and girls to achieve their dreams, to help alleviate poverty. Her name is Nyaradzai Gumbanjanda. So coming back to Rosaria, her children, as they started growing up, they got sick. She would take a wrapper and cover them so that they can feel the motherly love. The children died. She still took a wrapper and she would cover them and bid the children goodbye. To her, this wrapper was a sign of love. It was a sign of dignity. It was a sign of resilience. It was a sign of entrepreneurship. She was left with orphans, and she started helping these children, raising them. The children in the people in the community came. They found a pillar in Rosaria. In January of 2006, Rosaria died. The community felt they had lost. But Rosaria's children said, "Mom, you are gone, but your legacy shall live on." That was the birth of Rosaria Memorial Trust. Rosaria Memorial Trust became our pillars as we started this trust. We wanted girls to have the self-esteem, to build confidence in these girls. We wanted that social security in the community that you are going to be able to grow up and be who you are and pursue your dreams. We wanted those safe spaces for girls where they can talk, where they can tell each other, you know, the growing up issues. When, you know, we have mentors with the Rosaria Memorial Trust that we are sending out in the schools. Currently, we are helping. We have a membership of girls of like 1,000 girls in 5 schools. These are kind of elementary schools to getting into high schools. And some of these girls are affected by HIV and AIDS or infected by HIV and AIDS. They are orphans. They do not have mentors in their own homes. Some of them are breadwinners coming to school, and they'll go after school, they'll go and work so that they can find food to feed their siblings because their parents are now late. With some, they are taken in by relatives. They become members of an extended family. But given a choice between sending that girl to school and feeding the family, these girls are being sacrificed. Their education, their future is sacrificed because Zimbabwe right now is going through a bad economic recession. And with this situation, people are surviving on $1 per day. Now, a girl needs sanitary wear in that family, or a girl needs to go to school. They'll have to weigh the options whether to send this girl to school or to get that $1 and get a bucket of cornmeal from their storage to go to the miller to grind the corn so that they can feed everybody. definitely the girl stops being a priority from that moment. We are in these schools teaching these girls life skills. We totally understand that not everyone is academically gifted, but you have something that you can do as a person. So as a girl, if we help you discover that talent, you are going to take care of yourself. You are going to take care of your children. You are going to give your children a decent future. We encourage young women and girls to volunteer in their own communities. As they start to live, they... As they start to live, as young girls, we are saying, you know what, there's something that you can also do. If you are given this opportunity to know your rights, if you are given the opportunity to know that you can get help somewhere, and you hear of someone who needs that help, definitely you can try and help, or you can try and direct them to where they can get the help. So we are trying to make these young girls become leaders on themselves. We are trying to connect them to global leadership, to national leadership, to advance the goals of the Rosaria Memorial Trust. Our main goal is to build that self-esteem, right? Our main goal is to end early child marriages. Our main goal is to give the girls a chance, to empower them, to support them. As we are going through the schools, trying to find out how best we can help the girls, issues of sanitary ware came up. And the girls were telling us, you know what, we can't even go to school when it's our time. At times, it is damaging to my self-esteem, because everyone will know that this was my time. And the next time I go to school, I won't feel comfortable. People will be talking about it. And the other issue is, while I'm out of school, because I do not have proper equipment to take care of myself, some people will still be learning. And we are falling behind. And now that increases the achievement gap. So we are trying to find ways of retaining these girls so that this gap, this cannot be an issue that can stop girls from going to school. It is actually doable. It is actually, we can solve this issue and at least help raise their self-esteem. So we can go to the next slide. So currently, as the Rosaria Trust, we have so many activities that are going on. We started seeing that since we want to retain these kids in school, what are the barriers? Some of them, it's medication to their sick relatives. We would see how best we can get HIV and AIDS drugs, like the antiretroviral drugs. We would see how we can help even with the school. So some of the schools, they didn't even have a building to go to school in. So we started building a school block. So built two, that still, we roofed it, but it still needs to finishing up and at least put some desks and chairs in it. So we are working on that, and we are still trying to figure out how we can connect our girls to global leadership. I am happy that with our fight for early child marriages, the Supreme Court, the Constitutional Court of Zimbabwe, about 2 weeks ago, they ruled that it is against the law to marry off a girl that is below 18. So it is one of those biggest achievements that we had. But now the issue lies on implementation. Who is going to follow it through? So as the organization, we are saying we are going to be those police people looking, seeing if this is going to be followed through. And at times following through a tradition, you know, it's so hard changing a tradition, but we are really going to fight hard, as we have always been. And also with other African countries, we are fighting to end early child marriages. It's not just an epidemic in Zimbabwe, as I said about Rosaria Memorial Trust. As for myself, I have a friend. Actually, my mother died when I was 5 years old. Then I went to stay in the village with my grandmother. I was in kindergarten then. Kindergarten, first grade, and second grade, and third, up until third grade, I made friends. One of my friends, to protect her identity, I'm just going to call her Tracy. We were so close. The girl was so intelligent. We would compete for first place. I know here people don't want to be tested and stuff like that. But for us, we would have every, at the end of every semester, we call it term, it's after every three months, we would sit for exams. So when we sit for these exams, she would come first, I would come second, I would be mad with her for coming first. The next time I'll come first, she'll come second. The only time that we never fought about this issue was when we both came first. So with her, she had her own dreams. By the time I was going into fourth grade, my dad remarried. And I moved back to the city with my dad. I left my friend Tracy in the village. But during the holidays, we would go back and I would go to her house. When we were going to fetch firewood to make the fire so we can cook, she would pass by our house and take me and go to go and fetch firewood. If I'm doing the same thing, we were always together. One holiday when she was in seventh grade, I went back to the village as usual. I couldn't find my friend. She had been married off. Her parents went to this church that allowed polygamy, and they would marry off young girls. I was heartbroken. I was so, you know, I couldn't get it, I couldn't understand it. First of all, I was a young girl. Second of all, thinking that my friend is now married, and now we don't have anything to talk about. The third of all, the husband would not allow me to come because, you know, we'll be childish. We'll be playing childish games with our children. But Tracy, her dreams died then. She became a mother. She started raising her own children, married to an older guy who would abuse her. You know, that changed my life. That also gave me the desire to find out what is wrong with the family structure, what is wrong with this family tradition, and how is it that we can end it. That is how my own drive in family sociology came to be, with women's studies came to be. I want to make a change. I wanted to make a change. And also the objectives of the Rosaria Memorial Trust gave me the platform to be the change that I want to be for young women and girls around the world. You'd find that, like here, we started having this vocational training, skills training for our young girls, because as I said before, we know that some of them, you know, not everyone is academically gifted, not everyone is really good at math, not everyone is good at science. We are teaching them to have some skills, and they can make those bracelets. You are married young, or even when you are done with school, going through the school process, and you have really grown up, you can make those things and sell them. These are our girls in our members. When we are, they sit down when they are talking. They, you know, it's easy when you are a girl. Like, when you want to talk about the boy issues, you can talk about the boy issues with your friends, and that's a safe environment. Because if you don't talk about them, little Jono will come and say, you know what, you don't really love me. If you really love me, we have to do this. And if you are sharing those little issues with your friends, you'd know that, that is not love. We can wait. You'll be able to stand up for yourself. So these are some of the skills that we'll be passing on to our girls. Our mentors go in and talk to these young girls so that they know that you can wait and you need to grow up. Your body needs to mature so that you'll be able to handle life issues. And we are also talking about issues of HIV and AIDS. So we have found that by talking about them, the HIV prevalence rate has gone down. So these are the girls, and they're knitting their hats, and some are doing tie and dyes so that they can, you know, some do sell, end up selling them and making their own income. Some actually end up using them. Some also find a way of just engaging themselves, making use of that extra time that they don't have anything to do, engaging themselves. So with the sanitary wear, currently we have a campaign that we are doing for to get sanitary wear for these girls so that at least we can enhance their learning chances, their time at school. So these are some of the sanitary pairs that we've managed to buy. So far we've been trying to supply for 500 girls, but our membership goes up to 1,000. So we are doing what we can, and hopefully. As I said, there is no global community without the local community. Our Rosaria members get to go to the African Union to try and talk about their issues affecting young women and girls in their own community. As Rosaria Memorial Trust, as you heard in the introduction, we try and open up the doors between girls themselves and the leadership so that they will communicate directly without filters as to the issues concerning them. So we want girls to be their own advocates because they know how to solve some of these issues. So in this slide, we have... This is Nyarazai, the one that I was talking about, the YWCA General Secretary. She's with our girls at the African Union, where it was the African Union Girl Child Day. They were pushing that agenda of ending early childhood marriages. And we have a mentor also speaking on the sidelines at that same summit. About those issues that are really affecting us and how we can help our girls grow up and be who they want to be in their community. So as I was talking about the discussions that they'll be having just as girls, the safe space without being judged, they'll be talking about their own issues, and they'll be having all those mentors as well who will be trying to say, you know what, girls, we have been at your age before, so this is how things go. We know, we understand the pressures that you are going through, but we can go on and be somewhere. That little girl who was sitting at the back. This lady is the UN Women Executive Director. So the way this photo was taken, these two girls are our girls at the Rosaria Girls Club, who were at the United Nations last year at the Commission on Status of Women. So they had an opportunity to meet with her, and she's the one who sat down and said, you know, we have understood, we are getting it. We are really getting your concerns. Maka had to give she's the one who handed the resolutions, the 2030 resolutions for women, that these are the issues that we want addressed in terms of technology, in terms of poverty, in terms of domestic violence, in terms of gender equality. These are the issues that we want introduced. Maka, can you come in? She can tell you about what she did, I guess.
Hi, my name is Maka Chikawero, and I'm 11 years old. I go to Hamilton Middle School. I am a club member of the Rosario Memorial Trust Girls Club. I've been a member since last year when I went to the United Nations, and I was the youngest delegate there at the time. I got to meet Ban Ki-moon. From what I learned at the United Nations is that girls and boys do not have the same opportunities. My wish is that all girls all over the world have the same opportunities as people do here.
So that is when our club girls get to meet with the UN Secretary General. So it is our drive. This year we have invited some girls from Zimbabwe and two more girls here, because we are setting up girls clubs even here, Rosaria girls clubs, to go to the United Nations again for the CSW 60, where they'll have to go and meet with other global leaders, young girls, young women and girls like them, so that they understand. And we're also trying to open up their horizon, so that they can see that life is beyond the next village. Life is beyond that little boy, me marrying this little boy. I can be someone. I can do something. I can change my whole family. I can change my community. I can change the whole country. And I can change the world. So, as for the outcomes, that we have had with our initiatives as Rosaria Memorial Trust, we have managed to reduce teen pregnancies. For example, at one secondary school, they've recorded a decline of like 30 girls getting pregnant in 2014 to like 9 girls. So that is a remarkable improvement, and we are still trying to get to that 0 point mark. we have also improved the menstrual hygiene for these young girls. As you saw in the pictures, that we are buying them sanitary wear, and we are also giving them a bar of soap to just even take a bath. When they leave the house in the morning, they feel confident that they are going to face the world. And so it is no longer, so that it becomes, it stops being a hindrance. It stops being something that stops them from achieving what they want to achieve. We have managed to take these girls, and they become leaders. One of our young girls, 2 years before, went to again to the United Nations and to the African Union. On the African continent, there is a union for African countries where they discuss, where leaders come in to discuss their issues. And the girls, one of our girls became a keynote speaker at the ECOSOC in the United Nations, and also at the African Union on HIV and AIDS. So we are also embedded the sense of volunteerism, which is something that people don't normally do, because they want to see, how does it help me? Or, you know, where do I stand in this and stuff like that. So we are trying to encourage that in our young girls, so that they can help the young women and girls. We have managed, as I spoke, if you remember, I spoke about these girls talking to young Johnny. They are now starting to defend themselves, even under those pressures. They are like, no. You know, you're pushing me too hard. That's not how it's supposed to be. They are standing up for themselves, even fighting for what they believe in. A family member comes in and says, you know, we can't send you to school. They will say, I know that I have a right to education. They are standing up for their own rights now. We are finding more and more leadership skills in our girls, and we are trying to groom them. With the Rosaria Girls Club, we have the girls coming together. They have to have their own leader. that is on rotational basis so that they can advance their issues. They will talk about their issues. They will then find a way forward. And also why we encourage them to rotate the leadership is so that everyone feels comfortable in being a leader, so that you cannot just be led. So we have also increased the participation in schools. Girls are not dropping out that much, and we have so many girls that we are trying to help also stay in schools, because education in Zimbabwe, you have to pay an tuition to stay in school. So at least we are trying to help as much as possible to get to keep a lot of girls in school, so that they are not sacrificial lambs, because they are going to be married anyway. You know, so we are trying to stop that. As a community, we are trying to provide that security. Even as we talk, we may be saying we are dealing with girls a lot, but we are also dealing with the community. When it comes to an issue of marrying off a girl, at times we end up going to talk to the parents, so that issue has to stop. So we are also very involved in all this. Issues of trying to end early child marriages, trying to uphold the girls' to uphold the girls' education. So as the future of our Rosaria Girls Club, we want to strengthen and be more effective and sustainable in empowering our girls. We are trying also to have some exchange programs with the girls that are here. We notice that some girls that are here, they are so much in a bubble, growing up in a bubble. They don't know the hardships that the other girls are going through, and yet they might actually have solutions to them. And also we want at some point to bring them, the girls that are in Zimbabwe, so that they can see that there is life outside this small community, and they try to open up opportunities for them. We also want to expose them to global and national leadership, as I talked about. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucy. We have time now for some Q&A comments, and Lucy will stay up here for you. So just wait for a microphone.
Change is not easy, but but we are fortunate that even within some people in the communities, there are men who are coming on board who have seen their children suffer, and some of them, their fathers, who have seen their children suffer, and there are some young men who are saying, no, this is not it. We have to figure out a different way of doing things. We shouldn't be marrying these young girls. There are brothers who are saying, no, this is not it. But also, there are men who, like recently over Christmas, I was talking with the guys back home, and they were saying, there is a girl who came back late from a date with a boy, I guess. And the brother was so mad, and he chased the girl away from home to go back to where she was. And the father was not happy. So we're engaged in some kind of mediation, in trying to find, to at least for them to understand. So the girl, actually, it's said that the brothers insisted on the girl staying, but So the family to which she went to be married, they are saying, we are going to send her to school. So we are hoping it's going to be like that, but still we are still going to monitor such kind of situations, which is why I spoke of implementation. Currently, Zimbabwe is going through a very tough economic situation, such that they are even failing to pay their civil servants. Oh. So to seek help from the government is kind of a hopeless case. Yes. So we are actually asking people to help us, and like we have an initiative so that people can donate, because if you donate like $10, it can buy sanitary pads for like 20 girls. Mm-hmm. So all those issues, you find that.
Ready for the great questions. Thank you so much for joining us, Lucy. I'm sure will you be able to stay around a little while after the service? Wonderful.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, our closing words today will be read by Gary Gates.
Gender equality is a core development objective in its own right. It is also smart economics. Greater gender equality can enhance productivity, improve development outcomes for the next generation, and make institutions more representative. From the World Development Report for 2012 on Gender Equity and Development.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming today. Please extend a hand of friendship to someone and those around you as we excuse ourselves. Grab some coffee and enjoy some conversation. Have a wonderful day.